All right.
Bell tolls.
Tolls for me.
Until he's seated, we're just going to keep doing it. Oh, great. Welcome to the House Committee on Rural Communities, Land Use, and Water. It's sharply 1 o'clock on May 19th, 2015, here in Hearing Room E. And I am opening a work session on Senate Bill 2687A, so I don't risk the chances that I lose my quorum for the rest of the day. We'll just get the one item of business done. So, colleagues, this is the one I asked to hold over the other day because I wanted to check on a couple things, and the couple things I checked on, such as the width of the relating clause, probably lead me to not want to cause any more problems to the poor people who really want this bill for their important purposes. So I'm okay with it. You may or may not recall the hearing. If you want more information, I'm sure the department would come up and remind us what the bill is again. Otherwise, I would take a motion.
I'm just making sure anybody didn't want to take you up on your offer.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Chair Clem, I move Senate Bill 267A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Post moves Senate Bill 267A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gomper.
Aye.
Representative McLean.
Excused.
Representative Witt.
Excused.
Vice Chair Helm?
Aye.
Vice Chair Post?
Aye.
Chair Clem?
Aye. Motion passes. The bill is sent to the floor. And we'll have Richard Whitman carry it. Yeah. No? Okay. What about, have we put anything on the consent calendar this whole session?
No.
Does anybody have any objections to the consent calendar for this simple bill? Okay, seeing none, let's put it on the consent calendar. It's kind of exciting. Now then, we have our Senate colleague and sponsor, I think, at least the only witness on several of these, on one of the bills. And so let me open public hearings on Senate Bills 953, 206, and 264, in case you want to cover everything all in one.
206.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to testify on 953 and 206.
Great.
On 953, Mr. Chair, committee members, for the record, I'm Senator Doug Whitsett, representing Senate District 28, Klamath, Lake, Crook, Deschutes, and most of Jackson County. Senate Bill 953 is about a property in Bly, Oregon. And Bly is a very small town located on Highway 140, about 50 miles from Klamath Falls and about 45 miles from Lakeview. It was a former logging and sawmill town. However, the mill closed more than 30 years ago. The property for the Bly School Gymnasium was donated to the Klamath County School District sometime prior to 1920. The property was donated with the right of reversion to the donor if and when the property was no longer to be used by the school district. The use of the property was abandoned by the school district more than 20 years ago. The donors no longer want the property. However, all of the extended family cannot be contacted to sign off on the right of reversion that is necessary for the school district to sell the land parcel. The bill was carefully crafted by legislative counsel, the school district attorney, and the title company to allow for the sale of this property and only this property with clear title. It provides that persons who currently possess future interest in the land parcel may retain that interest by recording notice to preserve their future interest within 6 months of the effective date of the bill. This has been a conundrum that's been going on for a while, in that the owners of the property, or the donors of the property, are scattered all across the globe. They're not able to contact all of them. Their spokespeople say they don't want the property. The property has been abandoned. It needs to be sold to somebody that can use it. It needs to be put back on the tax roll. But the current statute requires that all of those people who had a right of reversion be able to sign off. This bill is crafted to do that. The original bill that came, they asked me to sponsor, would have done this for all school districts, and we ran from that one very quickly. But this is took quite a long while to get this narrowed down. But the language, if you look at it very closely, it applies only to this one property in Bly, Oregon. So I would urge you to pass this bill.
Any questions on this one? Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator. I ask this question respectfully, but it seems like this problem has been going on for quite some time. Is there really a need for an emergency clause in its resolution?
There's probably no reason for an emergency clause on it other than the school district is anxious to resolve this issue. And currently, they have the ear of the spokesperson for the family who is willing to move forward with this. So, as you know, the emergency board, the emergency clause would make this bill take effect immediately. However, the family still has a 6 month opportunity to contact the school district and say, we don't want to do this. So there's a cut sort of a blend of emergency and non-emergency there.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We ask largely anybody who has an emergency clause in their bills this question, just FYI. Somebody does, anyway.
Well, I have actually, Mr. Chair, I've actually sponsored a couple of bills on emergency clauses
right?
and how we should stop using them. So, and actually, I think we've even suggested that it should take a two-thirds majority to fix an emergency clause to a bill, but nonetheless.
Okay, then 206 or 264 and or 264, whatever you prefer.
My next one is Senate Bill 206A. This bill will be an immense help to imperiled climate-based irrigators. And I had the pleasure of working with the governor's office and others to put this bill together, and I carried it on the Senate floor where it passed unanimously. Water diversion in the region is currently controlled by the administrative finding of fact and final order of determination in the Klamath River adjudication. That is an administrative ruling. It's an administrative finding that issued by the Oregon Department of Water Resources in March of 2013. Their administrative finding is enforceable and is currently being carried out by the department. However, Oregon statutes say that water rights are not fully adjudicated until after the court has made its final ruling on exceptions to the department's determination and all judicial appeals have been completed. That means that water cannot be transferred in the Klamath Basin until that adjudication is completely finished, gone through the court system. Current Oregon water law prohibits transfer of the place of use and the type of use until the water rights are fully adjudicated by the courts. Senate Bill 206A makes a unique and limited change to the statutory prohibition. It authorizes the temporary transfer of the place of use of a water right, as well as the temporary in-stream leasing of a water right, subject to the administrative phase of the Klamath River adjudication. It strictly prohibits any temporary transfer or lease that would serve to either enlarge the water right or injure another water right. This unique authorization will allow Klamath Basin irrigators to better utilize what little irrigation water has been left for them to use to grow food and fiber. The transfer authority will sunset in 20 years or when the courts have completed the judicial phase of the adjudication, whichever occurs first. There's a couple of things I wanted to put on the record regarding this bill. Section 1, sub 6 of page 2 of the A and Grow Senate Bill 206 states, if a determined claim is removed from the land by lease or temporary transfer, the land from which the determined claim is removed may not receive water during the term of the lease or temporary transfer. The intent of subsection 6 is to prevent the use of a water right that is supplemental to the primary right to irrigate the land from which the primary right has been transferred or leased. The legislative intent is not to prevent the use of any exempt well or any allowed exempt uses on the land from which the primary right has been transferred or leased. And further, these allowable uses include but are not limited to domestic or stock water uses on the land. Moreover, the legislative intent of subsection 6 is not to prevent the use of any water right on the land other than the primary water right and that has been transferred or leased or a water right supplementary to that primary water right. Throughout recorded history, the basins experienced periodic meteorological droughts lasting for 1 to several years. That reality is normal for high mountain valleys located east of the Cascade Mountain summits. Traditionally, water users have worked together with good success to get through those drought years. However, during the past 20 years, Mr. Chair, the Klamath Basin has experienced persistent, ongoing, and worsening man-caused droughts. Water that has been stored and used for irrigation for more than a century has been reallocated under the public trust doctrine by our state and federal governments for higher and better uses. That would be running it down the river for the fish. Make no mistake, that persistent reallocation of irrigation water is the cause for this much-needed bill before you today. I urge you to move this bill to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Any questions for Senator Whitsitt? Vice Chair Post.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I want to, just so that we can get it all out there on the table, I went through all of the testimony from when this was in the Senate, I believe, yes. And so I made a list of the supporters and the folks that were opposed. Just from your sense of how folks are down there, where does it kind of lay right now, this bill, and maybe even the companion bill, I guess, 264, seem to be the same people are involved. I'm just curious
Representative Post, the bill that is before you today is quite different than the bills 264 and 206 are quite different than they were at the time of the hearing in the Senate.
Okay.
Much, I believe, of that angst has been diffused by changes in the bill, amendments to the bill, and statements made on the record that the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement and the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement are in no way spoken into existence, ratified, supported by this legislation. And matter of fact, the 264 is the only one that mentions of the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement. That, I believe, was the primary concern. There were also some concerns regarding the possibility of creating an in-stream protected flow by leasing water into the Klamath River that might have a negative effect on wells that are constructed within a mile of the river, and that would also include several of the municipal wells for the city of Klamath Falls. It's my understanding that most of that angst has been resolved by assurances and also by some recent hydrogeological studies that would indicate that the wells are likely not connected.
Good. Great. Thank you.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We still have 953 open.
Yeah.
May I go back to a question there? Good. Senator, this sounds like a reasonable bill. I just wondered if, first of all, any other school districts in Oregon have come forward saying this is something we're interested in. And secondly, can you say a little more about the difficulty that they've had in locating these family members?
To answer your first question, I have not been contacted by a single other school district, and frankly, I believe that that each property should be determined on its own, as this property is being, because I have no idea how many other properties around the state of Oregon may have been donated, school properties may have been donated by with a right of reversion or otherwise. And I have no desire to open that kettle of fish. I mean, but I think that assuming this bill becomes law, it would set a template for somebody else, for another school district doing that. But I do not believe it would be a wise idea to do it on a blanket basis. Your second question involved the contact with the people. This has been an ongoing conversation for some time. It's my understanding that the members of the family that can be contacted and the spokesman for the family want this property sold, and they don't want title to property. But the the state law requires that all parties with a right of reversion sign off on it if it's going to go back to a government-owned entity. And for that reason, that's the genesis of the bill. This simply surgically describes one property that with a 6 months right of reversion will no longer fall under that act.
Just a quick follow-up. I'm concerned about the family, but I'm relieved by the 6 month and how long I'm sure they've gone through this. So I'm supportive of this bill.
Thank you.
Questions on either bill for the senator? All right. You're off the hook.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The witness lists look pretty similar on these other two bills, so I'm just going to leave them all open. Well, let me close. There's anybody else here on 953? We don't have any other witnesses. No family members from the Amazon jungle who just showed up in time, sweating, trying to claim? No? Okay. Let me close the public hearing on Senate Bill 953. And then, so 206 and 264 I've got open. Tom and Richard, do you want to start us off? Does it make sense to talk about them both together, or is it better to talk about them separately? Yeah, okay.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, Governor Brown's natural resources advisor, here today on the governor's behalf to testify in favor of Senate Bill 206A and Senate Bill 264A. I'm going to just do a very brief overview of what the two bills do and then turn it over to Mr. Paul to talk about any details and probably better suited to answer questions that the committee may have. But at a very high level, Senate Bill 206A brings water management tools to the Klamath Basin that exist everywhere else in the state. And more specifically, under the Klamath Basin water right adjudication, there are approximately 700 water right claims that under current Oregon law cannot be transferred on a temporary basis and also cannot be leased on for a specified period in stream without this legislation. That leaves the holders of those water rights, who include many farmers in the Klamath Irrigation Project, and you have Greg Addington here, who is going to testify to this bill a little bit later, in the Klamath Irrigation Project, and then also in the upper portion of the Klamath Basin, and you have Roger Nicholson here, who's going to testify to the interest in that area, who are unable to access these tools. And these are folks who have been in the adjudication process for a long time already and who have not been able to transfer or move, change the place of use for their water. So there's pent-up demand, really, to bring this management tool to the basin. The in-stream leasing portion of Senate Bill 206A is an important authorization that will help begin to implement one of the two agreements that Senator Whitsitt just referred to, which is the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement. In very broad terms, that agreement is designed to provide stability for the agricultural community in the Upper Basin by giving predictability when water supplies will be available for irrigation use in the Upper Basin. And frankly, assuring that water will be available on a much more frequent basis than would otherwise be the case. It also provides for protecting the fisheries in the Upper Basin as well as improving riparian conditions. So it's part of the package settlement between Upper Basin farmers and ranchers and the Klamath tribes that was reached a little over a year ago now. Senate Bill 264A authorizes the Water Resources Department to participate in something called the Joint Management Entity, one of those very descriptive government terms, which is the entity that oversees and is frankly already overseen the implementation of the Upper Basin Agreement. The Klamath tribes and the irrigators are already represented in this entity. The entity has been formed. It is operating on an interim basis already, waiting for formal voting participation by the Water Resources Department as well as the federal government once those authorizations are received. Representative Post, I think you asked a question about the level of support and just where the community is at, and I think you'll hear from other witnesses, but as a general matter, I think the Upper Basin Agreement has been widely supported in the Klamath Basin. There has not been real significant opposition to the Upper Basin Agreement. There has been and continues to be some opposition to the agreement in the lower part of the basin, the KBRA. But these two bills do not involve the KBRA at this point. And as Senator Whitsitt noted, with his assistance, I'll mention, we worked amendments to both bills to remove references to the KBRA and take away really an unnecessary part of the bills as introduced, leaving intact the operative provisions. So that's a high-level summary of the two bills. These are important both for ongoing water management in the basin as well as an important part of implementing the Upper Basin Agreement. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Good afternoon, Chair Clem, members of the committee. For the record, Tom Paul, Oregon Water Resources Department. I'll start off with Senate Bill 206A. You've already heard most of the basic principles of that, both from Senator Whitsitt and also from Mr. Whitman, but I'll run through it again real quickly. Oregon law today allows a holder of a water right certificate or a water right decree to transfer either permanently or temporarily or to lease in stream portion or all of or portions of those water rights. The law does not include the ability for individuals who are in the midst of a water right adjudication to transfer either permanently or temporarily those rights that have been determined by the Water Resources Director and filed with the local circuit court. That process did happen in March of 2013. So today, a majority of the senior water right holders in the Klamath Basin do not have the ability to make any changes to those determined claims. As situations change, they could really use that tool, either in farm management practices or, for example, in the Klamath Project, if land is developed and taken out of agricultural production, they have no way to move that water right and save it, moving it to a different location, so they would end up losing that right. They could only exercise the ability to transfer once the court issues a decree, and Senator Whitsitt talked about that, entering the decree after all of the appeals are completed, and that in this case may be several years down the road. Excuse me. So what Senate Bill 206A does is provide the opportunity for holders of those determined claims to do temporary transfers. That temporary transfer is limited to just the place of use. They cannot change the use. It does not allow for a permanent change. Again, we don't know what the permanent right will look like until that decree is issued. So this bill allows the temporary change. In the case of irrigation, it would allow a move from one field to another. It does also provide for a change in point of diversion, provided that diversion does not move upstream, and provided that diversion is required to facilitate the change in place of use. The bill also allows the leasing of those determined claims in stream. Both the temporary transfer and the lease have a maximum term of 5 years. They can be renewed at the end of that time period, so it can go longer, but at least in that single action, it is limited. The transfer or lease is dependent on the department finding that those changes can be made without injury to existing water rights, which include determined claims. It cannot result in an enlargement. As Senator Whitson pointed out, the lands from which the lease or transfer, the from lands, I'll say, those have to be dry during the term of the temporary transfer or lease. So there are protections there for other water right holders. In the event that injury develops down the road, we have the ability to either stop that lease or transfer, and at that point it would revert back to the original place of use. That's really a quick high-level summary of 206. It does have a sunset of 2026, but there's a provision that says any leases or transfers that have been approved prior to that sunset may continue, and again, that would be up to 5 years. So any questions on 206?
Vice Chair Helm.
Mr. Chair, can you give us a ballpark idea of how many years the Klamath adjudication has already been going on, and another estimate of how long you think it will continue? And then confirm, please, my understanding that these adjudicated rights are likely to be some of the most senior rights in the basin, and so they're very important. In large holdings, particularly for this question of transfer.
Chair Clem, Vice Chair Helm, we began the Klamath adjudication in 1975. We completed the administrative portion of the adjudication March 7th of 2013, when we filed the findings of fact and order of determination with Klamath County Circuit Court.
If I may interject one thing, Mr. Paul, I think given we have almost a 40-year administrative phase of the adjudication, I think it's important for the committee to understand that includes two periods of appeal by the federal government, one to the Ninth Circuit and the other to
the
U.S. Supreme Court. So a large part of the time required to complete the adjudication involved disputes raised by the federal government about whether the state of Oregon had the authority to adjudicate federal water rights.
And the result of that was the court said that, yes, the state of Oregon did, since it was a general stream adjudication. And the result there was that a few years were taken or allowed for the federal government to file registration statements for those federal reserved water rights.
That's fine.
The older.
Yeah, because 35 years looks bad.
Vice Chair Helm, I think the second part was, you had asked about these determined claims, and ultimately, you're correct. These are the oldest water rights, at least in that section that was adjudicated. Oregon water law was adopted in 1909, so we do have a number of water rights within that area that have priority dates 1909 and junior. This adjudication process established those water rights largely older than 1909. However, with the Federal Reserve water rights, those priority dates are the date of the federal reservations, and quite a few of those for U.S. Forest Service and parks and others are junior to the, or are more junior. They're junior even to 1909.
Thank you.
Any other
questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I've got Becky Hyde, Andrea, is it Rabe? Rabe? Something or other? No? And then April, were you here on both or just one? Okay. And how about Greg Addington, just one? All right, well, I'm going to have to just get a little, I'm going to get a little sloppy here. Why don't I have, so is Becky Hyde here? Yeah, please come on up. And April, why don't you come up and just talk about your one? And Andrea? Oh, yeah. So, Becky, I've got you first.
Okay. All right. Well, Chair Clem, Vice Chair Helm, and Post, and members of the committee, my name is Becky Hyde, and our family has ranched above Klamath Lake for about 105 years. And I'm also part of the Upper Klamath Water Users Association and a board member of the Upper Klamath Landowners Improvement District. And I'm here. We support Senate Bill 206A for the critical flexibility. It will allow for temporary transfers and leases of water for all irrigators in the Klamath Basin. And we support Senate Bill 264A, which gives the Water Resources Department the authority to participate in the joint management entity that supports the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement. And thanks for taking time to learn about this. That's it.
That's easy. And would you? Hey, yeah, Andrea, please.
It's Andrea Robbie.
Robbie.
So, gotcha. Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. So for the record, my name is Andrea Robbie, and I am the Executive Director for the Upper Klamath Landowners Improvement District, which is the group of landowners that landowners are represented through to participate in the settlement efforts in Upper Klamath above the lake. We are here to support both Senate Bill 206A and Senate Bill 264A. It is critically important that we have the tools that are available to the rest of the state to be able to manage the scarce water resources that we have in the Klamath Basin. Not only do we need to make the best of it for agriculture, the amount that is allocated to agriculture, and use that efficiently and wisely, if we have transfer options, we can move it to more productive areas and use it more efficiently within the farms and ranches that we have. And then secondly, particularly in light of the settlement and the tribal requests for fish habitat in stream, to allow some of that to be transferred in stream so that we can help satisfy their needs and keep the community whole. Also, in terms of the state being able to participate in the joint management entity, we felt as we moved through some of the settlement discussions that it was very important to have balanced viewpoints, not just the Klamath tribes and the landowners, but also some of the state and federal agencies that were assisting through existing programs to help fund settlement activities, but also helping make decisions to make sure that they were in line with existing Oregon state statute or federal regulations. And so by having them at the table as the decisions were being made, we weren't getting into a situation where we made decisions that then later the state said, wow, you can't do that. That's against our rules and our statutes. And so by having them at the table to go through the process with us and help guide us in that, it's really critical to have their input as well as the landowners and the tribes and the federal government. And so that's why we're asking that they can participate in the joint management entity as a full participant. So thank you for your time. I appreciate you spending time on these bills, and I ask for your support on both of them.
Thank you very much for your time, Chair Klim, Vice Chair Post, Vice Chair Helm, members of the committee, April Snell with the Oregon Water Resources Congress. I represent irrigation districts and other agricultural suppliers around the state. We are here in support of Senate Bill 206, which would provide irrigation districts, all the patrons they serve, and all irrigators in the Klamath Basin the same flexibility to transfer their water that other parts of the state are able to do, that otherwise the basin would have to wait several years for the adjudication process to be fully finalized. And especially as we look to a very dry drought year. Klamath, I believe, at the moment has 0% snowpack. This is going to be a very important tool. And I would note, Representative Gomberg, this is probably one of the best instances where an emergency clause is truly warranted. It is something where folks have worked for a number of years, and there are no words to describe the amount of effort that has been put in by all the stakeholders represented here from the governor's office, Senator Whitsitt, and both the folks beside me. And the emotions that are involved with the Klamath cannot be understated. And the folks there are so humble, and they go about their work without taking credit. But I will assure you that they have put in blood, sweat, and tears into not only the legislation before you, but the other legislation and agreements that are underway down there. And they really do need your support. And I am hopeful that we will see these bills move forward, and that it will give the folks in the Klamath Basin a bit of certainty and a bit of flexibility to move forward and hopefully become a place that is less defined by crisis and more defined as the beauty of the basin that it truly is. So thank you very much for your time.
Questions for these three? Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to brag about one of my favorite constituents, Becky Hyde. So how long does it take to get from your ranch to here?
Driving using the proposed methods that you guys are wanting Eastern Oregon driving rights to be at or legally. 5 hours.
5 hours. All right.
Basic rule of the road.
Hopefully we'll get that passed.
Five hours
to come and testify, 15 seconds. She was instrumental in the Upper Water Basin Agreement and a film star now. I think Representative Gilliam and I saw.
Yes. The river between us.
Yes. So at any event, thank you for traveling so far to, and I've never seen someone travel that far and testify, actually, so little. But I wanted these guys to know.
So briefly yet so effectively.
Yes. But anyway, thank you for coming.
Well, I wanted to follow up.
Yeah.
I was, before I knew that you knew her, I was going to ask that she actually would, could you do more? Because that was a long drive for that, and I was hoping, go ahead, you have the floor.
Don't let him goat you into doing anything.
No.
5 hours, and that was it.
That's all we needed to say.
Okay. All right, I just want to make sure you felt fulfilled.
If I had one other thing to say, it would be that there are amazing people across the Klamath Basin that made this thing happen, and many of them are in this room right now. So that's what I'll say. Thanks.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just note for the record that it's also a five-hour trip back home again, too. And that for the 10 hours invested, maybe Representative Post could work in a radio interview at some point, somehow, somewhere.
I think you could figure that out.
It's pretty shy, I don't know.
Any
further questions for this group? Okay, thank you. And then I'd like to call Roger Nicholson and Greg Addington. Did I get everybody on any topics related to these three bills? Okay. Okay. Greg, do you want to start?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Greg Addington. I'm the executive director for the Klamath Water Users Association in Klamath Falls. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm also going to make this pretty brief because I think the folks ahead of me all laid it out pretty succinctly. We represent irrigation districts, and there are upwards of 15 of them within the Klamath Reclamation Project. And so what that means, these are individual private irrigation districts, but they all have contracts with the Bureau of Reclamation, the United States Bureau of Reclamation, for water supply delivery. The United States of America owns much of the facilities, but the irrigation districts themselves manage the water and move it throughout the system. These are the same folks that have had a long history of run-ins with the Endangered Species Act, water shutoffs, and a variety of other not so great headlines over the years. That said, we're all working very hard to try to improve the situation down there. This bill is one example of things that can really help help us with water management in the basin. So just a couple of things, and I thought what I would do is just give you a couple of examples where, excuse me, this could be really helpful. I think Tom Paul mentioned, you know, you see lands that used to be irrigated agriculture that are subdivided. Now you have some sort of development that goes on. The ability to take that water that was on that property and move it somewhere else within the Klamath Reclamation Project. One thing I wanted to point out is that we do have some flexibility in a year like this where there is a governor's declared drought that does allow some flexibility in transferring water rights. However, many, many of the other years, and if you go back to the last decade, I think we've been short 8 of those 10 years in some manner due to the federal nexus regulations related to the Endangered Species Act. So internally, you have 170,000 acres operated by irrigation districts. You have shortages to that 170,000 acres, and you have farmers who farm in multiple districts. Hardly anybody farms in just one place anymore. They're in many different spots. So if a part of the project is short, they want the flexibility to move that water that they may have on one piece to another piece in any given year. And again, that happens on a regular basis, not just in a declared drought. Finally, I think others have said, other folks in the state have this flexibility, have these tools. We certainly don't want it to impact anyone. We want to do it right. We're not looking to enlarge or anything like that. The other thing that occurs occasionally to deal with these shortages are arrangements to not irrigate. I mean, people enter into agreements to not irrigate land. It's not always our preference. We prefer to keep the land productive. However, when that occurs and somebody does not divert that water that they otherwise would have, you want we'd prefer that not count towards forfeiture, for example, of a water right. So, again, this bill, I think, gives us that flexibility. We encourage you to support the legislation. Thank you.
And Roger.
Hi, Representative Clem, I'm sorry, Chair and Committee, and recognize Representative McLean. He is my congressman. For those of you who don't know, our area, Klamath County, is within his district, and many people think it's Representative Whitsitt, but he is our representative. Anyway, we strongly support both these bills, and I think a little historical perspective would be good. My family came to the Klamath Basin in the 1890s and started in the cattle business in the 1890s and helped build Klamath County into one of the biggest cattle counties in the state of Oregon. You all know how important the cattle industry is to the state. But Klamath County and stocker cattle and cow-calf is in the top 50 counties of the whole United States. Without this upper basin settlement, and I'll specifically address it, it would go to nothing. It would go to nothing. And there are many, many producers. Not only does it affect the state of Oregon and the state of Oregon's economy, the Sacramento and San Joaquin Valleys are intimately tied to the Klamath County Basin. There's multi-state producers, as well as the state of Washington for beef processing facilities, is very much connected to it. And that is the reason for my people and my particular part of the industry, the settlement itself is so huge, and this component, as negotiated in the Upper Basin Agreement, is very, very important to us. And I'll take it a step further. We get these state legislative components, and we need all the help we can get, and we need to recognize a few people, Senator Wyden, Senator Merkley, and Congressman Walden, and the governor's office with Richard Whitman. And we need the strong push to get federal legislation that will enable all of this to happen. It will enable a sharing of the water, and it'll enable my industry to, that being the cattle industry, to continue. And I know that's somewhat off subject, but it is what brought about this settlement and is the economic interest of the people of the state of Oregon there. Thank you.
Okay. Any question for these gentlemen?
Mr. Chair, I just want to at least commend both Roger and Greg and their efforts in getting the Upper Klamath Water Basin Agreement done. incredible effort, both with Becky Hyde and Chairman Gentry and others. You know, we know that their perfection can be the enemy of the good, but believe me, in Klamath County, it is a living example that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. It has just been an incredibly divisive effort, and I think these gentlemen and others have done something which is quite remarkable. I certainly hope the federal government does what Roger suggested and gets this thing taken care of.
Further questions or comments or questions? Representative Witt.
Are these our last witnesses, Mr. Chairman? I just want to say how encouraging the public testimony has been, and I think it's another example that good people working together can accomplish great things, and we've certainly seen some great Oregonians and some absolutely wonderful testimony today. So a big thank you to everyone who's appeared here.
Any further questions? I will note that the chair of the Senate committee that sent these bills over mentioned to me that these probably are the most important bills of the session, not just coming from his committee, but these are probably the most important bills of the session, period. So there's a significant, I think, both bicameral and bipartisan support for these efforts. Okay. With that, then, thank you, gentlemen, for coming so far, and we'll go to the public hearings on Senate Bills 264A, 206A, and 953. I didn't schedule them for possible work sessions, or I would have done that since we have people here, but we'll get them scheduled here shortly. Would either of the two, I excuse you both, Representative Witt and Representative McClain, would you like to vote on that in-district water transfer bill? We put it on the consent calendar even after it was
Oh,
done.
Did you put it on the consent calendar? That's fine with me.
So I would entertain a motion to suspend the rules for the purposes of allowing Representative Witt and Representative McClain to vote on Senate Bill 267A. 267A.
Yes. Yes, I make that motion.
Okay,
exactly.
So moved. Any objection?
I have no objection.
Oh, great. Thank you. So,
caucus members coming.
Will the clerk please record Representative McClain and Representative Witt's votes?
Representative
McClain? Yes. Representative Witt? Mr. Chairman, opportunity to discuss this after the vote? Or
I don't know if we're allowed to, but go ahead. I haven't dropped the gavel.
I just want to say how pleased I am that we have a bill that allows the Nestle company to transfer water from an aquifer to well water, and in the process create jobs and a tax base and an economy where there is none. I mean, there's only the sales of hamburgers and gasoline to people going to Bonneville Hot Springs. And the fact that it's placed on the consent agenda, I think, suggests strongly that we've moved a great distance on a jobs agenda in this legislative session. So I proudly vote yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity.
Okay.
That was the wrong bill.
I think it's not the right bill, but we'll take this. We'll take the yes vote anyway.
That's beautifully spoken. I want to make sure I understand this right. You put a water bill on the consent calendar.
Yeah. We can take it off if you want.
I thought it was monumental.
I've never seen that nor heard of it. I find that greatly courageous. And as a chairman who actually did that, made Oregon history. I'm sure that the state police will provide security for you.
Let's hope so.
I admire that. Don't be surprised if we might find an objection somewhere from somebody, but I'm certainly not going to object.
All right. Okay, great. So I think I've closed everything. We've gotten the votes recorded, and I'm not sure we actually had Representative Witt vote, did we?
I proudly vote.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he said he proudly voted yes on a different bill. Okay, then. With that, we're going to adjourn the committee. Adjourn the committee.